Big plans for the new year?
Yes, always.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. Showcase your work, blog, or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products using beautiful templates created by...
Orangutans?
World-class designers! And there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Around the NFL podcast is king in the north.
Enough with those refs. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes. Where is it, bozos? Dan Hansis, joined by Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, team?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey now.
Hi.
The Dan crash is coming because encountered Dan around 8:35 this morning. Very clear he's not slept. He is sort of all over the map, personality-wise.
He's organizing his papers in a very OCD fashion.
Don't touch them!
Around 3:30 p.m. today, Los Angeles time, you are going to experience a massive sleep-deprived crash.
Yeah, my oldest son, Jack, has flu-like symptoms, and luckily my wife took him to the doctor this morning. He does not have the flu, but he does stay awake all night and scream. And that's not even connected to the one-year-old son I have who is teething, and he screams a lot at night. Colleen, I can't wait until you join
us. I'm horrified by
the,
all of this.
Child-rearing section of your life.
Yep, I'll meet you guys there.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. It's all worth it, guys. When you see their beautiful smiles, it's all worth it.
Thank you for bringing brand new flu strains to the workplace.
I know. He walks in. He's like, it's freezing in here, isn't it? And we're all like, no, it's not. It's hot, actually. So that's great.
Okay, calm down. Coming up on today's show, the Tuesday edition, which is also our video show, by the way, the live stream of which you can check out at NFL.com/ATN video at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Coming up on today's show, the latest in the coaching news, including Mike Mularkey, who wasn't as safe as many people thought. Also coming up, oh yeah, it's been a while. It's been 2 years, actually, and it's time to bring it back the conference championship weekend version edition of Overly Confident Bozos.
It's been so long, I was not aware this segment ever even existed.
Right.
And I thought it was just my bad memory, but I was not even involved.
Which is very bad. Your memory.
It's bad.
You were not present.
I was
the segment
there.
Was excellent, by the way. I don't know if there's any correlation between the two.
Yeah.
And finally, the mailbag, the old ATN mailbag we're going to hit. We have not done that in a while. And we got Colleen, and the goal is to get Colleen in the entire show for the whole mailbag and everything. So we might as well, we got to keep moving. Though.
Good news, though. What? Next week, I don't have a meeting.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the Steelers.
Why? They're taking a break on the power rankings with when it's down to the final two?
We're taking a 2 week hiatus, and then we're back after the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're back after the Super Bowl?
What are you possibly ranking
for
at that point?
Well, no, it's a big reveal to find out who is on top of the NFL power rankings after the Super Bowl.
You know,
Greg's scorn for this operation knows no boundaries.
At this point, it's starting.
It's unhinged condescension towards this NFL network product.
That's not true.
No, it is absolutely true.
All sorts of things.
Yes, Colleen, defend your show.
No, we will be ranking until they tell us to stop ranking.
And Greg's like, how come I don't have a show? Well, Greg, because you're a nice little writer and you do a little podcast show, and that's who we are. And it's
fair.
Quicker you
know your lane. Uh
oh.
All right. We're not superstars like Colleen.
Stop it.
It's like, oh, which show am I on today?
Do not put me in this position again.
Money spilling out of her pockets.
Let's do some news.
I ain't got too much to say, but y'all make sure y'all bring that same energy out here next week and the week after. We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that.
He said the Lady Dog. That's Jalen Ramsey. love this Jaguars team, Mark. You're falling in love with them.
Absolutely.
Not really. Speaking of lanes, you usually don't like the swaggering juggernaut type exercise.
The flashy.
The flash. The
I
sizzle.
Like what they. I like who they've eliminated.
That's true.
That's what I like about them.
That's true. That makes
this
sense.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Well, the Patriots, as you know, get a chance to beat two AFC South teams at home in the playoffs to go to another Super Bowl. The one that they eliminated last week was the Titans, who, of course, upset the Chiefs in the wild card round right before that game. Swirling reports that Mike Mularkey was done. They win the Chiefs game, and we remarked at that time, this is a catch-22 situation for the Titans, who didn't seem to love Mularkey and envision a future, and now they felt they were boxed in. They give him a vote of confidence. They get killed, predictably, by the Patriots, and then, like 24 hours later, it's announced that the two sides are parting ways. Greg, we'll start with you on this one. Was this as simple as do you think the Titans, this was always the plan, and they just had to, during that ramp up to the divisional playoffs, they could not put out anything other than we support our coach to eliminate distractions, but they're always going to dump him if he lost?
I think there were different agendas inside that building that had different plans. So I think the general manager, John Robinson, reading between the lines, ultimately won a power struggle. So maybe he never gave up on changing out coaches. I don't believe that the owner of the team or the controlling owner, Amy Strunk, who released a statement just 8 days before they fired Mike Mularkey, that Mike Mularkey is our coach. It's her quotes. It's her statement. He's going to be our coach into the future. I don't believe that at that moment she thought there was any chance that Mike Mularkey was going to get fired. I have never seen this happen over the last 15, 20 years. Maybe someone could find an example where a team makes a statement that that's our coach and a week later he's gone. But I think what happened was when they started talking about a possible extension, they put some conditions on Mularkey, like maybe certain hires, certain changes to his staff, in such a manner almost that maybe they knew he was going to have to walk away. And he did. And they ended up parting ways, which to me, that's the same as firing him. It's just a nice way to say it.
Coming out of it, Ian Rappaport reported that Josh McDaniels looked at the Titans job as a preferred landing spot to what else was out there. But by day's end, Josh McDaniels linked to the Colts. So I wonder if you're John Robinson, you watch Matt Patricia go to Detroit, and if it sticks and McDaniels goes to the Colts, sounds like it's happening. You suddenly were the guy that was linked to both of these Patriots coordinators. You don't have either potentially, and you're starting from scratch trying to find the right candidate.
Yeah, and that's with a team where Marcus Mariota, he took a step back. I mean, if you're Mike Mularkey, you go into Kansas City, you win a playoff game, that doesn't even save your job. But the fact that he didn't even give Derrick Henry like the main shot this year, there were so many different things that happened, and the fact that Mariota has regressed, they sort of had to hit the reset button, and I don't know what that means for Mariota going forward too.
It's a tricky situation. I think the Titans were in a tough spot. I think ultimately they're making the right decision by getting out of a marriage that they're unhappy with, especially during a time where they can be. They're not there yet. We talked about it on Sunday. I'm not going to pile on, but they clearly were not up to the level near the Patriots or really any of the other teams in the mix, it felt like. Now you can go and get somebody that can coach up Mariota and maybe get the most out of him as he enters year four.
I think it makes sense, and yet it also points out how brutally tough that business is, because he took over. Remember how he got the job was as an interim coach who won a couple games. He took over a team that had one win at the time he took over, and then they ended up 3-13. They had won 5 games combined in 2 seasons. In his 2 full seasons, they went 9-7. Like, you know, other coaches do that, and you think they're mentioned for Coach of the Year. And I've buried Mularkey as much as anyone. I think it's the right move for Mariota, but it also shows just how inherently the deck is stacked against you.
The players sort of, some of the players even buried him too during the year. When you have Delanie Walker saying, "Sometimes you got to overcome coaching."
It could be the end of Dick LeBeau too, as a defensive coordinator. We could see if he could get a job elsewhere. Most likely he won't be back in Tennessee. He's 80 years old, so that would be a big factor too. The defense played very well.
I wonder if John DeFilippo could wind up in the mix here, because one of the issues they talked about when Mularkey was someone that they thought might be gone after the season was player development. There's a lot of young players on offense, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
That's a specific type of coach in the staff. I think Dick LeBeau probably is good at developing players. I mean, the history would tell you absolutely, but on offense, not so much.
Also good at survival, general survival. Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau. All these coaches. No. Mike Mularkey's going to have another job in 5 days.
Like, literally,
that's,
he's old.
That's my hottest coordinator from last week.
Listen.
He's in great shape.
Absolutely, yes.
He's also keeping Dick in the conversation. A lot of people aren't giving that name out anymore.
That's absolutely true, Dan.
He's a survivor.
It's not a Hall of Fame player. I mean, there haven't been many like Dick LeBeau in NFL history.
He's one of a kind.
I'm going to sit this one out.
The New York Giants. The New York Giants.
We're slowly losing Dan second by second.
Zeroed in on their new head coach.
I want to see Mark host the show, the end of the show. Dan's just asleep in the corner and Mark.
Or I'm just like talking to myself and at a wall.
Well, that's already, we're already experiencing that.
Stop being mean to me.
Sorry, no, I'm having fun with you.
You're being so mean to me. Rap Sheet reported Monday that Big Blue is the demon.
There we go. Hire
Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur as the team's new head coach. Shurmur, of course, cannot negotiate or sign a deal with the Giants until the Vikes are eliminated from the playoffs, which, you know, who knows? Could be a few weeks before that happens. Shurmur, 52 years old. Obviously, it's a good gig when you are the guy behind Case Keenum's rise, and not just Case Keenum, but how the Vikings were able to overcome the loss of their dynamic young rookie running back and all the things they've accomplished this year up in Minnesota. So Shurmur lands a second job. Colleen, he flunked out with the Browns, but everyone has flunked out with the Browns. Now he gets to start over with one of the prestige franchises in the league.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just this year that he had his success with quarterbacks. I mean, you look at last season, what he was able to do with Sam Bradford when Bradford was just dealt there at last minute before the season began. And then he was in Philadelphia with Nick Foles when Nick Foles had that amazing season.
Good call.
That everybody talks about, but I wonder what this means for the quarterback position in New York if he does, in fact, go to New York, if they end up keeping Eli Manning. We know Pat Shurmur runs a lot of West Coast things, and so that would work up there, but I wonder what they do, and maybe even Teddy Bridgewater comes over. I mean, who knows?
Case Keenum
could, but they don't really have a whole lot of money to spend, but...
Huh. The two big knocks that I recall with Shurmur in Cleveland, one, that there were people watching that offense on a week-to-week basis, analysts and people that used to be in the league that could decide, could tell what the play was before the snap, like 85 to 90% of the time. That his offense was deemed utterly predictable, and the results showed. The second thing was, you're a coordinator, great. When you're a head coach, there's a lot of other work to do, and your persona and how you work with the media. He did not get a passing grade on that front either, and he was just, I think that he had a trouble connecting with some players too. A good guy, by all sense, has NFL lineage. So I think he's grown a lot, though, from the time he left Cleveland, deciding to go work with Chip Kelly, and what he's done since. Second time hires make a lot of sense, because you learn a lot from what went wrong the first time. I like the hire.
I think that it's interesting the Giants, who are thought of as this great organization, and
thought of
for a lot of reasons that they are. Ultimately, I think they chose Shurmur now, however this is getting out through the media, because they had three finalists, and this was reported widely. Number one, it was reported in the New York Daily News that it was going to be Matt Patricia, but it became clear that Matt Patricia preferred the Lions over the Giants. Josh McDaniels was the other finalist of the three. It seemed like he wasn't necessarily going to be a match, and they were worried about losing out on all three of their finalists, that the two Patriots, it just didn't end up being a good mix. Maybe they didn't want the job because of Dave Gettleman. They felt more comfortable with some of the other general managers out there, which makes total sense, and they kind of had to make sure they got Shurmur before he possibly took the Cardinals' job. It was ultimately their third choice.
I mean, Patricia McDaniels is smart enough to say, look, the Giants are a great organization. I think Belichick would tell them, go where the ownership is good. That's a big Belichick thing. But Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, versus total fill-in-the-blank situation for the Giants.
And their buddy.
Not quite, though.
What?
I mean, they have the second overall pick.
Yeah, and that's a roll of the dice too. That's not a guaranteed homer.
I think it's relationship. Patricia and Dan and Bob Quinn know each other, worked together for a long time, and then McDaniels, he never worked with Chris Ballard, but the reports are that he has a pretty close relationship with
Tom Pelissero. Well, said they're close. Yeah.
The GM, and when you got a chance to work with old Ballard, you got to do it.
You have to do it. Absolutely. What's your favorite type of frog?
That's what I was waiting for.
Did you guys see, it's been floating around the internet today, the photo of a presumably younger Matt Patricia, clean shaven?
No.
Only through your Twitter.
That was your hottest coach.
Hello, dimples.
Stop.
By the way, Odell is
I'll take a look.
Geeked. quote unquote geeked with the Sherman.
That Patricia picture looked like it was taken before a lot of rough New England winters set in. Like, he looks like a different man now.
All I'm saying is I stand by my choice of hottest coordinator after seeing him.
I hope you would. I hope one week wouldn't shake that determination.
I've completely checked out, and I'm just searching for pictures.
Go to Dan's Twitter.
Check my Twitter feed.
Oh, perfect.
Everybody
okay,
do
great.
It. Moving
We're
on.
You're actually in the middle of a show, Colleen. Just a reminder there for you.
By the way, Sean Payton, who is one of the great villains of the NFL, and I say that in a nice way. I like that he's evil. And he's kind of like the Bud Kilmer, if you remember Varsity Blues of the NFL. We remember a few weeks ago when the Saints were playing a key divisional matchup against the Falcons. At one point, Peyton did a choke sign to a foul. Yeah. Maybe it was Devonta Freeman. Why does that sound?
It was.
My head? But yeah.
It was.
In reference, of course, to 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Well, Peyton outdid himself at the end of the NFL.
Broke out the brooms last week to celebrate sweeping the Panthers. That was a big thing.
About.
This guy's feeling himself.
He's got bits.
He's got bits. He really outdid himself on Sunday in the final 20 seconds or so of the Saints' heartbreaking final second loss to the Vikings. He turned with his back facing the field towards the crowd at U.S. Bank Stadium and started doing the skull.
I can't believe he did.
Clap in a mocking way.
Was this during a timeout?
Obviously.
When exactly was this?
When did he have time to do this?
And people caught, there was photos of it, and it became a thing. And then Peyton owned up to it, which is good that I even heard from him, because I actually was wondering yesterday, had anyone seen or heard from Sean Peyton since that last play of the game on Sunday?
I mean, he did his two normal press requirements, like, Sunday and then Monday as well.
A welfare check would not have been out of line after what happened. His quote was, "There was just a group of fans. It was good playoff fun." And I agree. Somebody on Twitter, somebody in their feelings was like, "How dare you come after fans as a coach?" It's like, calm down.
Oh, someone was outraged about
sports.
Something?
On Twitter?
Sports, man.
Shocking.
I'm with you that I like how Sean Payton has an edge. That he is somewhat unlikable, but I like having those characters
but
in the league.
He's allowing one thing about
but
him.
But when did
though,
this happen? Was it during? It must have been during the timeout. Because that's
someone
crazy.
Told me with 21
Cause that game was
left.
Never close to being over. I mean, even like it wouldn't have been like if Stephon Diggs caught that pass and he was just pushed out of bounds there. They're kicking a field goal to win it. So you would think Sean Payton is as locked in as possible trying to get his team into the right setup. I don't know.
And I know it wasn't over by any stretch, but didn't it kind of feel like it was over in those couple plays before the Diggs play? And that might have been
not after the time. But you're right. But not after the 20-yard throw by Keenum to start that drive, which is kind of going to get forgotten. That was a really nice throw to start that drive. They had a first and what 20 or something like that. I don't know. I
mean, can you imagine crazy. Todd Bowles doing that? One thing on Sean Payton,
oh my God.
We noticed that Todd Bowles.
You bet Belichick to the crowd.
Todd Bowles has never clapped before.
Not at all. Sean Payton a couple years ago was jacked.
Yeah.
Guy was on a massive fitness kick and super jacked, and not so much anymore. He's wearing the little grandfather glasses on the sideline. There's a lot of transition happening.
Taking
there.
Shots.
So what is happening?
Not, I'm just wondering why did he have to suddenly why did he get off his little get jacked routine? It was a good look for him.
And I don't want to talk out of school here. I think he might have been newly single at the time.
That would explain it.
And he was I'm gonna be a big Papa Pump. Now that I'm single, and then he probably maybe settled down. I don't know his personal life.
Sure.
These things
also,
happen.
This time of year, at this point in the season, it's tough
what
for
the
everybody.
Hell, man?
What
we Get were off Peyton's back.
We were actively discussing this. And me along with other people who are in the studio right now.
4 million people listening. And that's
I don't hide my conversations from anyone.
Well, you're a better man than me. I'll say that. Finally in the news.
Oh my God.
Finally in the news, Greg. Greg, who struggled all throughout his time here at NFL Media with losing stuff, just a shout out to Greg's phone, which was left behind in a cab in New Orleans.
Oh, man.
And now we're up to two departed laptops that had water or tea spills.
That was both 5 years ago when I lived
in New York. A phone that... that he dropped outside of his car a couple
You're
years ago.
You're a serial destroyer.
And now another
phone.
Got
that phone back.
And now another phone that is still somewhere in New Orleans.
NFL behind. Security had to shut it down, according to, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that's their protocol. When you report
it, zap it
missing, they just so no one can.
Did this happen like late at night or something? I mean,
I stayed up all night, all nighter, sober, and then took a cab to the airport at about 5 in the morning for a 6 a.m. or 4:30 in the morning for a 6 a.m. flight and left it there. So I'm blaming
that
as a factor.
I would have been completely screwed.
Remember,
you got credit cards.
All nighter in New Orleans,
in
sober.
Phone,
that's
everything.
Not the way to do New Orleans.
No, I know, but I was working. I'm just saying that wasn't an impact. It didn't have any impact.
Remember in after 9/11 when like Osama bin Laden was the number one fugitive of all time in the United States?
Clearly, yes.
There is a picture of Greg's face in the IT department here. That's how he's viewed. Just a total monster with no conscience, and he just goes through materials.
I was starting to wonder how true that was because I could not get a response to emails or phone calls for multiple days. And so finally, I just went over there myself. I don't know if that's allowed. You just do like a drop by.
Oh, to IT?
And I just hovered uncomfortably while someone dealt with other callers and other people.
See,
you're on the naughty list. Yep. You're on the no-fly
list. That's how you do
IT-wise.
I had to take no for an answer.
Everybody's like, I sent an email. I texted so-and-so.
Well, face-to-face.
You go. I didn't know that.
Gotta go.
That's what Keith Hansen taught me. You go look that man in the eyes, face-to-face, and you tell him how you feel.
Well, you know what?
It could be a female working in IT.
They haven't learned any lessons because I got another phone now, baby.
Oh, God.
For the next week or two.
What a human victory.
That's what's happening in the news.
I didn't know where you're going with that.
All right, here we go. Let's get into it. It is the championship week edition of Overly Confident Bozos, in which each of us take one team involved in championship weekend, and we get 90 seconds uninterrupted to make a case why there is no chance that team will not emerge from Sunday's game victorious. And just a little breakdown of who's talking who. Colleen's going to get us going with her hometown Eagles.
Great.
Mark, you're going to be talking up the Jaguars.
Yes, I will.
Greg, you will be vouching for the Vikings of Minnesota.
Okay.
And I am repping the throne of ease.
Okay. I'm sure that'll be done with an air of professionalism and
great
unbiased analysis.
All right. So, and Lindsay, are you aware of the responsibilities of the producers for this segment?
Sure am.
Okay. So what we're going to need from you is just a clock. Maybe give us at 30 seconds a heads up to the individual, and also give them 5 seconds too. So. They know what's going on.
30 seconds and 5 seconds?
Yeah, 30 and 5. Is that unorthodox? 30
and
10. 30 and 10? All right.
Sure. Whatever.
How about 32 and 9?
If we finish our argument before 90 seconds, do we have to filibuster?
Filibuster.
I know.
Oh,
I was going to say,
really?
I might be done at 60.
And no interrupting.
Okay.
Huh.
32 and 9, Lindsay.
So if you're done, you really
overall.
Just have that 30 seconds to use however you want.
Bamp, baby.
Okay. So I could give some like Aussie Open analysis and predictions.
I mean, that would be. I would feel like that would be unfair to the Vikings. But if you can do it, I know it's the biggest sports event in the world right now.
This is something I should have prepared for, but I am ready.
Hey,
I was like, we're gonna do likability factors, right?
I texted you. Did you not get a text?
I was already on check show.
All right. This is why you shouldn't be doing check.
This is why I am a professional. Here we go.
All right.
You're
here
on like 17 shows.
All right, Lindsay, let her know when it starts.
I've got a timer, so.
Okay, let her know when.
This isn't like a pep talk.
We're just
you are overly confident.
Anything you want.
Overly confident. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We're on. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Listen, the Eagles this week, I don't know if they're underdogs or not to the
they
Vikings.
Are.
But, okay, great. I feel like it's better that they are underdogs at this point because, and Greg, you can't interrupt me again. Thanks. Because this is how they perform at their best, as underdogs, with a chip on their shoulder. Apparently, Fletcher Cox said before that they have been doubted all season long. Now, when Carson Wentz was there, I don't think anybody was really doubting them. But now they are being doubted, and that is when they play their best. Frank Reich, he said that this Vikings team that they're facing this week has the best defense that they're going to see all season. And Nick Foles, a lot of people were not confident in him. He got it done in the second half of that game. First half was not pretty at all. I was sick after the first half of that game. But the second half, it was great play calling. Nick Foles, he calmed down a little bit, and they took advantage of what makes that team good. It's all of the players working together. You don't have one player that can really, really stop laughing. That can really hurt you. It's all the players together. And they had a lot of RPOs. They simplified things for him. Oh, really? Okay, great. You got this
run,
defense.
Pass option.
The defense is going to win you the game. Run the ball, use that defense, and home field advantage is going to take you home. I better see a ton of dog masks out there this week. I'm going to the game, and I can't wait for this. I can't wait to watch the Eagles win. Their offensive line, they played great. And the defense in the second quarter of that game last week, that's when they started heating up. We're going to need them to start heating up in the first quarter.
Okay. Well done. Are you going to be allowed into the stadium to watch the game this time?
Yes, I'm credentialed.
Good.
Bow, bow.
Big victory.
Yeah.
All right. I thought that was a very good case for the Eagles.
Very solid.
Very solid.
Overly confident.
I wasn't great at timing it. I had other things I could have gotten
it.
To. I thought I needed to
build this. I would say you were a little bit overly confident, but that's your job in this exercise.
That's the whole point. Right.
To be a bozo on some level.
Nelson Aguilar is like the new Tyreek Hill.
Okay. You're 90
that's
seconds. You're 90
that's
seconds far up.
Squeeze that in.
90 want, seconds.
Any up. Counterpoints to what Colleen said to
I'm sure there's a lot.
Rebuttal.
I'm happy to let it ride. I thought it was
a lot of my rebuttal is going to be in my Vikings.
Okay, that's
there
right.
You go. Yeah,
okay.
I don't want to step on
keep
that.
It clean.
All right, so why don't you want to throw it now to Greg?
Okay, well,
sure.
If you want it,
and I
next, sure.
Let me say
that's
that
called an audible.
Yeah,
Dan.
Thank you, Connie.
Production team scrambling.
Let me say to you, Colleen.
Yes.
That you did a nice job, but you're going to be wrong.
Okay.
Sunday. So your confidence is unfounded.
I don't really care what you think, Dan.
My word. All right, Greg. It is your turn. Greg,
writing some notes.
Scrambling a little bit here. All right, Greg Rosenthal. Okay, Lindsay, I noticed that you went with 30 and 10 instead of 32 and 9. But listen, that's your call. That's your decision back there.
Sorry, I was just making an executive decision.
Hey, listen, I'll stand down. Stand down.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
There'll be a first time for that.
All right, here we go. Now it is Greg's turn.
All right. Two words. Nick Foles.
That's it?
All right, five more words. Philly cannot have nice things. Mm. That's six words. Colleen Wolfe said earlier this season she didn't have a good feeling about the Eagles because she's an Eagles fan. And
I was worried.
Expects things to happen wrong. And you know what? She was right. Carson Wentz tore his ACL, and they haven't been the same since. And now who's showing up to this game in Philadelphia? Colleen Wolfe. Well, that's a good sign for this Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think so. Bad juju. You think the NFL is going to allow this? Minnesota is now America's team. You think it was a coincidence that Marcus Williams missed that tackle? I don't think so. It's the Illuminati of the NFL getting behind a great storyline. Home Super Bowl. Isn't that going to be more fun? They even set up Sean Payton to do that whole skull chant to really build
32.
Up this storyline. Oh, my gosh. The Vikings have been through a lot.
Lindsay rattled them with that one.
They've been through a lot. Mike Zimmer with the eye surgeries. Teddy Bridgewater's injury, Case Keenum getting cut from a million teams. This is a defense that has been together for 3 to 4 seasons. They know each other so well. They've been 10. Building to this moment. They've got Sam Bradford. That's the final recipe. He knows what's going on. Sam Bradford goes to Philly, and he wins the game against the Eagles. That's the most Eagles way possible to lose.
Sam Bradford does?
Sam Bradford does.
Case Keenum goes down with an injury.
He gets knocked
out.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Listen, I'm not going to be a jinx here, all right? So don't make me a jinx. Don't paint me as a jinx.
I like the bubbling up Greg Colleen heat, which every once in a while you get it, and it's very rewarding.
And I also like that Colleen is a legitimate Eagles fan, and she's a little on edge right now. And rightfully so. You have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You got a home game. You got the dog masks. And let's not sleep on the dog masks, by the way.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was the point I wanted to make, like, what about if everyone wears these dog masks in the stadium, would that be a positive or a negative in terms of highly frightening, kind of like a Black Mirror episode type thing?
Yeah.
But also would muffle the cheers. Mm. So what's more important?
Can you see through them?
That's an interesting point.
Eyesight? Can't breathe. Your cheers are muffled.
None of us have ever worn a dog mask, right? I never have.
I've worn those type of rubber latex masks before. They're not very breathable.
Hot.
No, sweaty. What do they call the vision?
No peripheral vision.
No peripheral vision. But maybe the technology's come a long way since I was
Skeletor. I don't think there's a lot of technology involved with these dog masks.
Wear it on top of your head, then. Maybe you almost like fit
that
it
I like.
As a crown.
I like that.
Okay, well, you're going to be there, so maybe you could spread the word. Do not muffle your voices.
Right.
Put the animal head on top of the human head, please, Eagles fans.
Mm-hmm. Eagles fans need to be full-throated like they were last week, because I thought that played a huge, huge role in that game. Greg, that was highly confident.
It was.
I'm so confident in these Vikings.
All right, Mark.
I don't like your confidence.
Let's move to the AFC.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars time. Why the Jaguars? I'll tell you why, you overconfident bozos.
Did the clock start?
Getting me a little extra time.
Delay,
I like
delay
that.
Delay of game. Here we go.
Colin's so competitive about this. I like it.
Whenever you're ready.
Here we go.
Uh-oh, Mark's got a printout.
All right. I'll tell you why. Because the entire country has made a sport of trashing Blake Bortles on a weekly basis. Dismissed, denounced, giggled at by roaming elitists and hobby horses nationwide. It's time for Blake Bortles to stand up and scatter said hobby horses into a trillion pieces. Little hobby horse body parts scattered all over the chilled Foxborough turf. Jacksonville marching against the precious Patriots on network television. 14 seconds left. Jaguars ball. Fourth down from the Patriots 22. Game on the line. Jacksonville trailing 31-27. A lot of information. No timeouts. They need a touchdown. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Quick snap. Bortles with the ball. Dances away from Trey Flowers. Rolls to his right. A blitzing Patrick Chung in his face. Bortles lofts a dart just as he's hit. It drifts quietly through the Foxborough night. 65,000 hyper-entitled Patriots fans watch in silence as the ball cycles toward the end zone through the arms of Malcolm Butler. No interception this time, bro. And into the waiting hands of Tommy Bohannon! Jaguars win. Patriots stunned. Belichick retires. McDaniels and Patricia out the door. Tom Brady opts out of his contract. The deeply entitled Patriots fan base snapped in half like a twig. Blake Bortles changes the AFC forever. You can have the rest of your time. It's over.
I liked it. More a prediction.
Didn't know Tom Brady had an option in his contract. He could just choose to opt out of.
He's going to retire.
That's impressive.
Breaking some news. No,
he's going to retire.
He opted out. Well, you said he opted out of his contract. Well, this is your chance, Mark. You know, you came hard after the Patriots fan base a long time ago. Barstool Sports wound up calling you out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's it. It took your chance for it to come to fruition. Right in front of the home fans. The Jaguars do it.
Tell me, even you, Greg, a little part of you would love to see it.
Love, no.
Why do you really need this to happen?
There is more of a part of me probably than 99.9% of Patriots fans that wouldn't mind covering the Jaguars in a Super Bowl. So that would be a small,
another
small
week
silver
Patriots
lining.
At the Super Bowl.
That would be a small silver lining. But no, why would I love that?
I love, you know what I love? I love the idea, and I tweeted this yesterday. Even if the Jaguars lose on Sunday, let's send them to media night. I'm sure the Patriots would be fine with it, too.
Be great.
And just let them, like, complain and, like, make fun of people and just boast about what's going to happen next year. Because, you know, the Patriots at media night, no offense, Greg.
Jalen Ramsey at media night would be the most entertaining.
Well, that's what I mean. Ever. Like, if the Jaguars were in the NFC, I would be rooting for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
They're the most – every week they play, you never know what's going to happen. They're compelling. They're just different than any NFL team we've seen in a while.
Right. I would just go back and, like, republish the features that we did on the Patriots last year.
See if anybody
three
notices.
Seasons ago. I did a story on Bill Belichick's son. He's still with the team. Just republish that.
Yep.
Still that's valuable true. Quotes.
It's really not a bad idea.
I mean, just and it would give us the week to sort of settle down and enjoy Minneapolis.
I think Steve Belichick deserves a second look.
You should
exact
definitely.
Yeah, well, with no update, just let's just put it back out there. Same.
And by the way, we're going to do three audio shows Super Bowl week, including our Super Bowl Sunday night show, the ultimate flagship show, and a full video show that will air on Friday that Connie Fox will be involved.
Yeah, and I won't have to leave for a meeting.
I love it. All right, speaking of which, we got to get back to it now. Finally, the old Zeuser will deliver an impassioned fight for the Patriots to move on to another Super Bowl. Let's do it, Lindsay. Let's start here. How about this?
No day
Okay, that's good, Bill. You're biting into my time now. It's do your job. Ever hear of it? Deion Lewis, sneaky superstar. Danny Amendola, handsome white. This is his time of year. Speaking of whites, James White. All that guy does is score touchdowns in the Crucible. Gillette Stadium, the true Mall of America. Revenge. Oh, yes. Revenge for Deflategate. Revenge for Spygate. Revenge on the media, man. Failing ESPN. Fake news. They wrote a mean story about the Patriots, and now the whole squad is more motivated than ever. Relevant players. Think about this. Relevant players that oppose the Patriots always have like a final destination curse. Leonard Fournette sprained his ankle Sunday. Yep. Car accident today. Blake Bortles. Bill Belichick versus Doug Marrone. Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels, last game. James Harrison, a revenge game. Alex Guerrero, revenge game. Mark Wahlberg, revenge game.
Wait, what?
Because no one messes with Boston and gets away with it. The movie Patriot Day, which finally gave us a proper vehicle to understand Boston's indomitable fighting spirit. The Patriot Way. The Patriot Way, which teaches us that players should be not heard, but seen, used, then discarded. It's everything that
brash,
mouthy Jaguars are not. Nice win in Pittsburgh, Jaguars. How about some class? New England Autumns.
What is going on here?
It ended a while ago.
Play by your own rules.
Wow. The Pats have a tight end that literally cannot be covered. And the quarterback. How about the quarterback? Tom Brady. A top five finish in Greg Rosenthal's playoff QB trustworthy rankings. 5 Super Bowl titles. 7 straight conference title appearances. Impossible to injure. Giselle, babe alert. He's playing the Jaguars.
Someone clearly didn't time out this
is there any scenario
monologue
where Tom Brady and Bill Belichick lose to Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone?
Keep going.
In the words of another famous Boston celebrity, no one denies this. He's facing the Jaguars in their all-time defense that surrendered 545 yards.
Who said no one denies this?
Bill Simmons. The Steelers are only still playing because Pittsburgh's defense was almost impossibly worse. And finally.
Your next 90 seconds just
there's
ended.
A finally.
Finally, the Patriots cannot wait to get back to the White House to see their good friend Donald Trump. Hey, Jaguars, you fired. Duh, winning. Bud Light, I said.
I love it.
I thought I was entitled to a little more time because of the Belichick sound drop kind of cut into my.
Well, that was three times.
That was your
three
bit.
Three times as much time.
I think sound drop was.
I think
it was all.
You're entitled.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
It was all good.
I'm moving away from Dan right now.
Why?
That was a good singer.
It was
that was a good one-liner.
She dropped a word play.
Said you're entitled. That's for
She's
sure.
She's like, oh yeah, you're entitled.
Oh, I'm an entitled white.
I thought you were gonna come back at me.
Oh. Oh. Oh, that's fine.
That's Colleen's opinion. I'm not saying that Greg and I agree with that.
I know Greg feels that way.
Well, you're trying to pretend to be an entitled Patriots fan. It's not going to work.
Anybody think I'm overly confident or properly confident or not confident?
You have a Zolakian level of confidence.
I mean, of any of the four of us, you have the right to be overly confident about a team that probably will methodically mow everyone down and win yet another Super Bowl.
It's true.
I don't know. It's Jaguars.
No, Greg.
How will they pull it off
doing this
time.
For week after week?
Year after year.
Dangerous team. Yeah. Dangerous team. We can agree on.
Hey! Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Ready to start your new business? Why wait until the new year to set your plans in action? The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Showcase your work, blog or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. And it's all optimized for mobile right out of the
human computer.
Use Squarespace's analytics to help you grow in real time. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com. Offer code AROUND.
You know, one person out there has been thinking, I really need to start my blog. It's been I've been thinking about this for months. Well, get off your butt. Start your blog.
Get off your butt.
What are you doing?
Get off your hiney pillow and get to work. Take your hiney pillow, toss it, and get to work.
It's a hiney pillow.
Yeah, get out of 2003. Get off your butt and start a blog.
That's right.
That's the
Get
future.
Blogging. Mm-hmm.
Check out Blogspot. Start one up and let's fire. No,
let's go.
Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Excuse me. That's where you get a blog.
You're going
to get Blogspot.
Hey.
Or like a, yeah.
Blogspot's over, man. It's all about Squarespace. All right. Before we go, it's time for a little Shoulders of Greatness presented by Shoulders.
I feel like you need a trumpet drop there.
Maybe.
Can you repeat that? How did you say Head and Shoulders there?
And Shoulders.
Okay.
We're going to do a little mailbag. You know who's got the greatness, the great shoulders? All of our listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The best shoulders.
Week after week, they listen to this slop.
Most of them. Most of
yeah,
them.
Most. Except for old Johnny No Shoulders in
well, we understand.
Indiana.
Old Johnny No Shoulders got his reasons. So this week we present to you, listeners, the Shoulders of Greatness, and we will celebrate you by reading some of your questions that you sent in to our Twitter handle, of course, around the NFL. Around the NFL. So let's go through them. We got a little bit more time with Connie Fox before a big prod meeting, little industry
prod meeting.
Jargon,
gross.
Little lingo. Let's start with Josh. Who is the Broncos quarterback next year? We need definitive answers here. Great show, guys and gals.
Well, I'm going to just throw a name
out there.
How about Case Keenum? Oh, we know John Elway really likes him. And I don't know if he's going to stay in Minnesota. Mm.
The whole Pat Shurmur to the Giants thing made me think that he's going to take either Sam Bradford or Case Keenum with him there. So in Denver, I'm giving you Tyrod Taylor, week 1 starter.
I like Tyrod. I think the draft pick is they're gonna have to circle back and take another first round quarterback.
I agree, but yeah,
I would
might
keep
be tough
an
to
eye.
Draft him to play him right.
He's
away.
Already proven he was the most successful free agent quarter of all time. Kirk Cousins.
Kirk.
And I think was there some report that they wouldn't chase him out there? I don't care if there was or not. I could see Elway saying, I'm not good at this developing quarterbacks thing. Let me go get a guy that I really like, and I'm going to give him a lot of money, and I know how to woo him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitively
I like that one. I like Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
And I don't think there's been any reports shooting that down. I think there'll be a suitor.
We love Big Ben quotes in the media because he's fond of saying kind of silly things or throwing people under the bus when need be. An old Big Ben special here reports that it's – not in the playbook for him to check into a quarterback sneak. Head asks, Cheesehead, I guess it is, because there's a little cheese thing in front of it, and then a hyphen. Is Big Ben really forbidden to check to a QB sneak? Do we believe that? Forbidden.
No matter what the answer is, he is not so subtly trying to throw his offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, under the bus, who he
not subtle at all
doesn't get along with. Mm. I don't buy it that he's not allowed to. You're the guy out on the field with
you can
the ball.
Do whatever
players
you want.
Do things that coaches tell them not to all the time. You're holding the ball. If you say, give me the ball, sometimes your teammates don't even need to know. You just jump. So
what are you
going to
do?
I
don't buy that. Pull him out of the game?
I just don't buy that at all. Why would you take a play that is incredibly successful for many quarterbacks and someone like Big Ben, who's giant? The one thing that his 1 yard to get on a QB.
They don't call him Little Ben.
Guy cannot scramble anymore.
Large Ben is what they call him.
He's just large now.
This next question is specifically for you.
Ooh. Some call him Big Jen.
For Colleen, pronouns.
Right.
Eric Gonzalez asks, do you think Tom Cable was the best choice as offensive line coach for Oakland? I personally think Mike Tice did a pretty good job with that group.
Yeah, I mean, it's apples and oranges to me.
I thought this was for Colleen.
Oh, for Mark.
Oh, it's for me.
I said Colleen.
I don't think so.
I said Mark.
Yeah, you did.
I said specifically for you.
This is why pronouns are confusing.
You did say for me. Tom Cable, good history running offensive lines, except for a large chunk of time in Seattle. So,
but I want to let's get a little bit more into the nuance of offensive line play.
Well, I think that.
What about Tice? Did you like in terms of his scheme last year in Oakland?
I didn't like a whole lot of it. I think he did not do enough with the talent. Tom Cable inherits more talent. Tice is going to be
less general, more schematically.
Well, are they going to bring the zone blocking scheme there? Are you going to stick with something different? Like Seattle
that.
Likes to do
good
a certain
save.
Thing on offense.
That was good.
I've got nothing else
if
for
this
you.
This was around the horn, but you just get a couple points.
There you go. Get some 2 points.
I was like, wait, is he going to get the zone? I like that. Up next, Ali at ColtsFanAAG asks, How successful do you think Josh McDaniels and Andrew Luck's partnership will be in Indy if Colleen Luck is completely healthy?
Oh, if he's completely healthy, yeah, then it'll be great. But that's the huge question mark right now. We have no idea what's going to happen with Andrew Luck, if he's going to be the same quarterback or not when he comes back, and when he is actually going to come back.
And how good will Josh McDaniels be with Tom Brady when Bill Belichick retires?
Mm. Very good. You got anything there?
After this season, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's hanging out there. If Belichick just left, maybe Patricia or McDaniels don't even go anywhere.
Sorry, Colts.
Next question. This from...
It would be annoying to have Josh McDaniels just beating up on the Patriots year after year with Andrew Luck. That'd be a bet.
You guys have like Brian Hoyer's cousin as your quarterback by then?
Brian Hoyer's cousin. Charlie Hoyer. Next up is Eric Jensen at Eric18 Utah.
I like Eric.
A long time
guy. Yeah,
big fan.
Best album you listened to in 2017.
Album. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I really liked Michael Kiwanuka. He did the
Matthias's
music
brother.
With
it is.
For Big
really?
Little Lies.
I don't know.
I just made that up.
No, but if you watch Big Little Lies, that's his.
In my heart.
Yeah.
In my heart.
And he's got a pretty good album.
I agree with Colleen's answer.
There you go. I will go with a tie between the War on Drugs album and the Lord album. Big fan of both.
Oh.
Anybody listen to those albums?
Both very good.
I love the Lord album. I think the...
Does Kendrick Lamar count as this year?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I think it's the
right answer, but late... entrant for me was Julian Baker, Turn Out the Lights, who I saw live and it changed my life.
I will have to look into that artist. Moving on. At Hunter Murphy 101, what NFL player would be the best to take on a fear and loathing style adventure to find the American dream? This one's for you, Marcus. I knew you were going to be uncomfortable with the music one, so I'm throwing you this one.
Not uncomfortable. I just like not going to manufacture a fake answer. The first person that comes to mind is... I mean, he's probably not an active player at this point, but Jay Cutler is the guy that I would want to kind of cross the country.
Upset.
Really?
Because I think he kind of doesn't really care. Like, I think he's done with football. He's not going to be overly worried about his conditioning. So we're talking about a fear and loathing. You are drug-induced. There's like beer bottles flying out of the car. There's no rules. Cutler is a man.
But is he good company?
I think he actually would be, to be honest. I think he has a sourpuss look on his face, but how in conversation, he'd probably be fine.
I'm going with Kai Forbath.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Stop it.
Guy's guy, man.
Guy's guy.
The four heroes are on a deserted island.
Jalen Ramsey, by the way, would be a fun pick.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yes.
I want to...
really
a lot of substance abuse, though. You got to
really
get someone that's cool with the substance
abuse. I'd go Antonio Brown because I'm just an attention and I want as much media coverage as possible. He's a big-time star, and he knows how to get that. Just like Entertainment Tonight, everything. Mm-hmm.
Are we post Gronk? Because no one thought about Gronk. I thought about him.
I thought it would be kind of
terrible
annoying.
One.
Yeah,
it's a little too much.
You have nothing left to say after
what
like 10 minutes.
What do you talk about?
You want someone that can have a conversation.
I think it might be just too intense, though.
Brad Wolf, another longtime listener. The four heroes are on a deserted island. Dan Hans is what album?
This
is
the one where we fight each other?
No,
okay.
we
get that a lot.
We're finally not getting those as much. Mark, what food would you bring? Greg, which tennis player would you bring? Wes, which beer would you bring?
I'll answer that one.
And Colleen, I was going to say, because I have Wes's answer, you could pick any of those categories.
Okay.
Share your own. I'll start with myself. Which album do you bring? That's tough. My favorite album of all time is Act Hung Baby by U2, but that's a little dark. So I'll go with a golden period Oasis album. Let's go with What's a Story Morning.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Like that.
And so you're there, you're on this island potentially forever.
Forever. So you better have something.
All right. Then I'm taking, I'm going to go Sloan Stevens. I think, if you're there forever, this could turn, who knows? Forever is a long time. Great tennis player.
Who is Sloan Stevens?
Very nice. She won the U.S. Open last year.
Oh, you're bringing a female tennis player. You're married,
but you're on this island. Anymore. You're on this island forever. So yeah,
Greg will quickly be killed if there's female on
this
the island.
This is a post-apocalyptic scenario.
An engaging
tennis player.
I'm happy because all respect to like the Me Too movement and stuff. But I didn't want you to be like, Ivan Lendl or something. Probably bring a lady. Bring a lady if you're going to the island, right?
Well, actually, that's very smart because you'd be we wouldn't just die out. You could, in theory, have children.
It seems pretty hilarious, pretty smart. Like, it all works out. It all right. Pans out.
We got to let Sloan know about it. What about you, Kelly?
So, mine's for beer. I would bring Wolf Among Weeds IPA, Golden Brewing. And behind the glass, Christian Anderson, he turned me onto this beer. He brought it into work for me, and it's still in my desk drawer, just a break glass in case of emergency beer.
Drinking beer at work?
Hmm. I'm not drinking it at work. It's just in my drawer, just in case.
Wes, by the way, his answer was, let's go with, he texted me, Scheinerbach, nice and easy.
Ooh,
was thinking
good answer.
Einstock White Ale, but that's more for special occasions, not the main supply line. I'm a little in the weeds there, but I'm sure if you're a beer person, you know what that means. What was yours, Mark?
I have food. Now, question, is it like I bring a box of food and it runs out in like 3 days, or I have a food item that constantly reproduces, it's constantly there?
Let's go with that.
I think I would think of the whole group, and I would go with like a flavorful rice, because I would imagine you guys would be like harpooning fish, and you could have fish and rice.
Oh, I'm imagining I'm alone on this island. I thought we're all alone. Are we together on the island?
That's why I was saying Greg will be killed. He brings an attractive tennis player. We take him out. No, I was thinking we were as a group. I'm thinking of all of us. Rice, everyone can deal with rice.
I think rice would be your answer anyways.
It might be.
Oh, my God, I gotta go. I'm late.
So close.
Bye.
Tune in to the Power Ranking Show to see if the Steelers rise or fell this week.
Yep, it's 3 o'clock. It's on at 3 o'clock.
Pacific.
All right, goodbye.
There she goes. Oh, here's the drama from Will Soistman. How do the heroes feel about the Super Contest winner? If you remember our subreddit Super Contest from September, selling his tickets he won for rent money. Come back to us, Reddit Super Contest. Rent is overrated. Is this true?
I would need to see evidence of that.
Well, there's no way. This is the first I've heard of it. He must have some reasons for believing it. Maybe it was on the message boards or whatnot. I don't have a problem with it, though. I mean, the NFL might have a problem with it, considering it was like an official, I don't know the rules behind that, you know, giving away tickets if you're allowed to resell it. But I've been there where you are struggling to pay rent, and if it was a pain to go to this game or whatever, I can't judge.
What was the game again?
He won the tickets. They were his. He can do what he wants with them.
He's a Patriots fan, which maybe gives you an insight into the character we're talking about.
Sure.
But it wasn't a Patriots game, as I recall. So maybe he was always just set up for.
Well, number one, I would like to hear his response, because it sounds like maybe, possibly in another scenario, a listener is just trying to drop an A-bomb on someone rando, but who
knows? The winner of the subreddit Super Contest, drop a line.
Let us know.
And let us know your story. And, you know, just we're curious. No judgment zone.
No judgment yet.
A little game of What's More Likely from Tom Marshall at Red Zone AUK. What's more likely, the Jaguars win Super Bowl 52 and Bortles is named MVP, or Patriots win another one and Brady retires?
I don't think Brady's entire movement right now, win or lose a Super Bowl, is to show that he can play and extend his playing career long beyond anyone would dare to deem possible. So I'll go Jaguars, Bortles.
I have my suspicions that that's more important to him now than winning titles. Like building
this brand of
I'm an everlasting professional athlete. So, yeah, I totally think there's no way
it happens. I don't know about more important. I mean, there's nothing really to indicate that.
I just got a feeling.
But I would say Bortles. Although, if the Jaguars won the Super Bowl, you almost still wouldn't think it was that likely that he's the MVP.
Never know.
But we're at a point in time where I know you're not into the metrics and like probability and all that, but there is a like a at least a 50% chance at this moment that either Blake Bortles, you know, Case Keenum or Nick Foles is going to win the Super Bowl.
100%.
About 50-50. And even if you want to be generous to the Patriots and say that they're about 50-50.
And if they got past New England and Bortles does not have a monster game, that award always tilts towards the quarterback no matter what. If he threw a late fourth quarter touchdown pass, it was a nice pass to win the game. It's a great story.
If the Super Bowl was if the divisional round game, if that just was the Super Bowl, Bortles probably would have won the MVP just because I don't think it would have been Fournette. And there just wasn't like a that's what happens a lot of times. Yeah. There's not like a super logical pick, so you just give it
the quarterback. The quarterback is definitely, has the most likely chance of winning. It is Blake Bortles, though. Anyway, moving on, JT at Crushing 511s. ¿Cuál es tu fantasía? You're reborn as an NFL fan and get to choose to cheer for a new team. No questions asked, and you have no knowledge of your past allegiance. ¿Cuál es tu fantasía?
Today, right now?
Yep.
Vikings.
Because of their success?
I'm dropping in from literally zero conscience about anything on the planet. It's a tough one.
This one's actually easy for me because it says it takes away your knowledge, but I'm going to put myself back in Los Angeles and I'm going to pick the Rams because they're a team that just started. So that's nice. You're just starting from scratch. And it's Sean McVay just started and Goff and Gurley just started. I think that feels great that you're kind of like jumping in at the beginning of this team, basically.
I was thinking the Rams are a good one, especially if I'm going to be in LA. And I was also thinking as a Yankees fan, it's always been weird that I'm a Yankee Jets fan. If I had a chance to reboot it and just be a Giants fan, and I'm just like a Yankee Giants fan, like all the Jamokes in the tri-state area, that's pretty good life in general.
The Jamokes are the Jets-Mets fans. The Giants-Yankees fans are living right.
The first team I remember watching really is the Giants, and with my dad and those old Parcells teams. And I don't know about the L.A. thing, because who knows how long we'll be here, but I would want to find a team where I could bring my kids to the game versus at night when I talk to my 5 and 7-year-old about the Browns, all they know is, Daddy, do the Browns still be terrible? Are they still losers? It's like, they are.
Right,
that's kids aren't attracted to losing teams.
It's a conversation for another pod, but that's why I support if Walker, my son, or Ellis, my daughter, want to root for the Rams or Chargers and they're growing up here, I support that.
Colton right now supports what he calls the Westwood Chargers. He doesn't quite know the location, but he's convinced they're from Westwood. Daddy ever coming back?
Let me do one more.
All right.
This from Mitch Kappa, Papa Fink, on Twitter. If you could swap any one Final Four team from the last 3 years with one this year, who do you swap in/out to make a better weekend? Okay. To make a better weekend from the past 3 years.
Tough for me. I really like these teams. Even the Eagles, I just like what's happened with this season. My wish before the campaign was for a changing of the guard, and we got it. I couldn't be happier. But I think I would maybe switch out. I want the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl, so I don't want to put in some great team, but maybe you switch out the Eagles with maybe that one of those Seahawks teams, a little bit of a lesser Seahawks team to make it a great
game. I need such a break from the Seahawks. I'm feeling good about them not being involved for a little while. Personally,
I'm not pushing for a switch, so I guess
I'm going to put in the 20.
I'm not pushing for a switch. That's what we're doing.
I don't know.
I had to roll through the teams and think about it, but I'm going to give the 2015 Cardinals another crack at it and replace the Eagles with Foles. Eagles campaign, but I do kind of believe that. To me, they're the least compelling team of these four, so they're the team I would want to get out. And I love that Cardinals team. Give them another shot.
Maybe let's get that Broncos team that beat Tommy Boy.
Please.
And get Peyton back in the mix and replace the Jags.
It was America.
Wait, how far back can we go?
3 years.
3 years.
Oh. And I'd like to take a Coughlin-led Giants team and have them go deal with the Patriots again and knock them out a third time.
Oh, yeah, no, America's sweethearts, Von Miller and C.J. Anderson. I mean, let's bring them
up. Shots fired at Von and C.J.
They're fine. I'm just saying it's not a team everyone was.
I'm looking for a team that could beat the Patriots.
I get it.
And they did that year, and I would like it to happen again.
They did it twice.
All right. There you go. That is, the Shoulders of Greatness presented, of course, by Head & Shoulders. Y'all got great shoulders, except for, what was his name? No Shoulder Johnny.
Johnny No Shoulders.
Johnny No Shoulders.
It's a medical thing. It's not his fault.
Sorry about your plight, bro. All right. We'll be back on Thursday with our big preview show. I will try to get through the show knowing that I could be at a Redkin party on Thursday, but I will instead be previewing football games. But listen. Sometimes when you got to be a pro, you got
to
be a pro.
I urged you to shrug off so-called professionalism and go. And I still think you have time. You could still get that flight.
It's not too late. I want to know if they would have flown you first class.
That was going to be my next question if I decided to go. It's like, how far can I take this? So, yes, we'll talk about the two big games on Sunday, which will take us to the big game. So, big show coming on Thursday. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton, Christian Anderson, also behind the glass. Thank you to them. Till Thursday.